Okay, welcome back. We have a lot of things on the table tonight. This bioweapon attack on humankind is the biggest attack on humanity in recorded history. At least our turn on the planet. I think we've been here as a species of one shape and configuration and size, maybe bigger, maybe smaller in the past. We've come and gone. But this time around, the biggest attack on human beings is the bioweapon injection and the bioweapon virus. They're both just as bad. Don't kid yourself. It's not just if you get the virus, it's not like having a cold. It'll be gone in a few days. Forget that. We're going to spend some more time on that tonight and other things as well. Are you there, miss?
I am.
Good. All right. Here's a little thing. We do try to help. We don't make a lot of recommendations, but one of the things that I've been really blessed to be able to handle and deliver is Allison C. for over 20 years now. It is the most wonderful, immune-boosting, all-natural antiviral antibiotic on the planet. And that's my view. I'm not speaking for Eric or anybody else. It is the best. You should take one a day. Especially if you've been injected or had any other issues after having had the virus. It's a prophylactic, but it'll help build up a flagging immune system. The other item is, it's almost like this is a gift from the heavens. It's biosuperfood. Yes, it's that good. And I cannot tell you how many emails I've gotten from people over the years. They absolutely can't go without it. They love it. Here's a little note from Roland Thomas, who's the owner of BioAge, Inc. That's the parent company of BioSuperfood. This is a little short. It's good. Here is how my customer, I won't name her, helped her 84-year-old mother get better using BioSuperfood. Hi, I wanted to let you know about the great results my mom is having with the BioSuperfood F3K formula. She is 84, and her voice has been trembling for a few years now, her head bobbing, and she was starting to get very confused or angry about things she used to know how to do. She began taking one little capsule a day of F3 and stopped because she told me, "These are very strong." A little more probing, and I realized she was getting detox from it. So upon your suggestion, Roland, I opened the capsules and prepared a 14-day supply of one half capsule per day for her to take. She began taking those and continued on with a little fear on her part, so not taking a full capsule each day, but taking a half a capsule twice a day. Lo and behold, the trembling in her voice went away. She is also in an overall far better mood and is not getting confused anymore. I have had to explain to her that she is still way below the recommended amount of BSF per day and that it would be a good idea to gradually increase it. It's been a slow process, a lot of hints, suggestions, and explanations so that she would understand why it would be a good idea. She is now realizing that she just might get her head shaking to stop entirely. She doesn't like to be like an old lady at all. Having more energy and vitality, lose weight. I've had to explain to her that if you don't change the oil in a car, it'll soon stop running. Since we both know she won't do any of these cleanses, taking the F3 pills is the next best option, as it helps her body, her entire body, detoxify. I am finally getting through to her, and now her latest is that she didn't want to use too many for fear of running out capsules. So she bought a year's supply, or I did, actually. Besides, I wouldn't want to run out myself. All right, it goes on from there. That's enough. But the application of BioSuperfood is universal. It has over 15,000 different nutrients in each little green capsule. These are the four most potent forms of algae in the world, and they do marvelous things. Many of those 15,000 nutrients, you, the average American, or average person anywhere, never see in your diet. You don't get it. But it's there now, and all of a sudden your body's getting the baseline nutrition and nourishment that it has always wanted and needed. And the results are often amazing. All right, I will stop there.
Well said. No, people, I don't think, fully appreciate how depleted the food supply is. It has been denutrified, essentially. I mean, we have minerally depleted soils. If the plants don't have it, then the animals don't have it, and the humans don't have it. So where are you getting your minerals from? And it's impossible to activate all of the codons of the DNA. We have 64 codons that respond to 64 different minerals. And when they're missing, they don't activate. So you get poor cellular repair, if you get any cellular repair at all. You get aberrant protein production. The minerals are absolutely critical to running the body.
Got it.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that they basically depleted the soils and have been feeding us minerally depleted food now for decades. Yeah. And we're paying for it. We're absolutely paying for it. Now you put toxins on top of it, and it's a miracle any of us are still here.
I'm glad you didn't mention biosludge. I can't tolerate that. That's what they're doing.
And that's completely legal to apply in organic farming.
It's astonishing. Well, I look at it as part of the genocide, frankly. I do.
And the glyphosate, the glyphosate itself, depletes the body of sulfur and deranges the mineral transport, which is, one big reason there's a rise in autism now. It isn't just vaccines. It's the practice of using this glyphosate as well.
I believe you. Don't forget that if you don't have a proper baseline mineral content in your diet, you cannot assimilate and utilize vitamins nearly as much as you should. You have to have minerals before you can assimilate vitamins and use
them. That's right. The minerals are the cofactors for the vitamins.
So don't forget that. Bio Superfood. Go to the banner at rents.com, and you'll see it's right there. Just get what you need and try it. Both Eric and I take it every day. I take
testimonials sound exaggerated, but they're not. You know, when you're missing these things, and then you give your body what it needs to function,
right?
The results can be profound.
Yeah, you put the right fuel in your tank, and all of a sudden you've got a thoroughbred instead of an old nag of a body. It can really take off. So many stories over the years. All right, that's enough of that. But do take that seriously. We are not overstating anything. We never do. We just don't do that. All right, shedding. The virus. People still want to underestimate this bioweapon virus. They're hung up on the shots. Oh, I didn't get the shots. Have you had COVID? Yeah, I've had it 3 times. That's not good. You don't want to get this bioweapon virus. Now, Steve Kirsch, one of the names in the whole field of looking into COVID, has gone blind in one eye. He's not certain if it'll be permanent or not. He did have, as a couple years ago, I think, the virus. He had it very severely. I think his wife did, too. Anyway, take it away. Tell us more.
Well, yeah, that's as much as I know. I know that he did say that his wife had it, and then he had it, and it wasn't to the point of having to be hospitalized, but they knew, they tested themselves and came up positive. They had all the relevant symptoms. So we know that he had it at least once. Whether he's had it more, who knows? I don't know whether or not he took the vaccines. I haven't followed him that closely. But, there's that possibility. There's the virus. There's the shedding, the pervasive shedding that is, we're all exposed to it now. There's just no getting away from it. So any one of those things, you know, could contribute to what has happened because of this microclotting. I mean, I can't tell you how many cases I've read and heard about people coming down with these eye issues since the rollout of the vax and even COVID, the virus.
Well, there's no reason to rule out, and I take no delight in this, but to rule out microclotting from possibly shedding or the virus, either one.
Right.
He said here he got a subretinal hemorrhage, an SRH. It's a rare sight-threatening complication that occurs when blood accumulates between the retina and the retinal pigment epithelium, RPE. It can be caused by new choroidal blood vessels that have grown into the retina. I'll stop there because I'm not a doctor and I don't want to. But the point is, microclotting occurs all over the body from a variety of sources. And it can do almost anything you can imagine. You shut down the blood to something and bad things happen. And these little spike-induced microclots are not to be dismissed. Go ahead.
I've said repeatedly that the two organs that are most affected when there's a coagulation issue going on, a clotting issue going on, are the eyes and the kidneys. Now, you know, it's more readily observed in the eyes because you use them to see. And when you can't see, you know it. The kidneys, you know, you can have damage occurring that you're unaware of until maybe 70% of your kidney function is gone. You know, you can be losing kidney function unknowingly for quite a long time before it would show up on a blood test.
No symptoms.
No symptoms, yeah.
Well, you really have to be on top of things nowadays, friends, to monitor your health. Don't say, I'm going to go in once a year and get my annual checkup. That's not how it works. You need to know.
Well, yeah, just start familiarizing yourself with your you know, basic biology so you don't have to rely on that system.
Most people, that's true. Most people don't know anything about their biology, their basic biology. They just don't.
No, but, you know, there's a lot of astute people out there that are trying to share good information and... you know, I can name
you
names,
see it.
But
you see it, you see it, we see it.
I mean, you know, and some are pure hucksters, but others are you know, solid, well-intentioned people that you know, they've got a good reputation preceding them, and they didn't come on the scene in the past 2 years out of nowhere.
Guy, exactly. Okay, let me see here. I always say, I hate saying, All right, we have a video. Anything else we need to do before?
No, I don't think so.
This is a video with Harry Fisher and Dr. Drew and Dr. Kelly Victory. Set it up.
Yeah, so Harry Fisher is our outspoken paramedic who's been sounding the alarm on these things for a couple years now. And he recently did an interview with Dr. Drew and Dr. Kelly Victory talking about what he is seeing. And it's nothing short of horrific.
We have read several of his short descriptions of the interaction between himself and his patients as a paramedic. And, wow, yeah, not good.
Three and
all right. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
You're on back. Before we left the break, we were talking about some of the things Harry was seeing out in the field there. And Harry, I want to just start up again with the question I had. I am just guessing that, I mean, so few people are taking the boosters now. And Kelly brought up the issue of whether or not cancer has been sort of enhanced with these things. And of course, people are worried about pregnant women and people are worried about young children and the downstream effect of these. But I'm guessing the more acute emergency reactions you are seeing less of now.
The more acute emergency reactions, well, it's still, I mean, I guess yes, and as far as no one's dying in the vaccine lines anymore, but as far as people suddenly dying, that's acute to me. I mean, that's people dying and we're still being called to it. So, I mean, and they're still young age groups. From what I've seen, because I have people consistently coming on my page asking, since I haven't taken a shot in 2 years, am I okay? And all I want to say is, yes, you're going to be okay. I'm praying for you. You're going to be fine. I want to say that. But it seems like there's a ticking time bomb in people. It is seemingly causing all these really rapid cancers. I am running these really young patients that are going to be put on hospice that normally wouldn't have ever had to be put on hospice for these aggressive cancers. And some of the patients are looking at me whenever I ask them about the vaccine. Some of them are looking at me knowingly. I think my vaccine caused it. So I'm talking to these murder victims, these young murder victims that know they've been murdered by this substance. To me, it's all this bad is just a constant happening. But no, I'm not getting called to any vaccine lines recently where I'm having to do CPR. There's just not massive amounts of people standing in parking lots waiting on their jelly donut anymore.
Right.
But thank God that's not happening.
No. So
what he's saying is, I'm not sure why they went off on that tangent, but we've read his accounts. They're horrific. Nothing's changing. Maybe they're not dropping dead in the vax clinic like they used to, but these people are dying from advanced, in many cases, what would you call it? I don't want to say illness because that suggests it's a virus or a bacteria. They're dying from physiological breakdown is what they're dying from, many of them. These are horrific things.
Well, these are the silent, I guess, long-term consequences of having taken these things.
Stealth.
You know, the disease has been brewing.
Yep. All right, here we go.
I would reiterate that, that the not seeing the anaphylaxis that you saw because it's not proximate to people getting the shots, but the incidence of sudden unexplained deaths, you know, young people going to sleep, you know, on the sofa in the afternoon and not waking up, people finding their kids dead in bed, that is continuing, and I'm sure you're still getting those calls. One of the other compelling things I really want to spend a little time talking about, Harry, because you did some really heart-wrenching videos on it, or interviews, is with regard to pregnancy and pregnancy-related things, spontaneous miscarriages, hemorrhage during pregnancy, those sorts of things. So I'm going to give it back to you to talk a little bit about what you've seen since the vaccine rollout that's different from what you'd seen pre-vaccine rollout with regard to pregnancy-related issues.
The amount of miscarriages. I mean, there was one night, though, 9 miscarriages in one shift. I mean, it was so bad in one shift that I was on contract in ER. This was one of the worst ones where I was watching ladies, young ladies, sitting in their chairs in the ER because we were busy, having to set in their own blood, and then finally getting back, and it was just one miscarriage after another. I mean, I had to call to try to get someone to come clean the chairs, and it was brutal. There was a lot, and I think if we ever calculated how many babies we lost into this massacre, it would be just staggering to the general public. Most people can't wrap their head around the fact that these shots aren't safe. Try to wrap your head around the fact that it's killed this many children is going to be a hard pill to swallow.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at fertility rates, you know, if you say, okay, don't look at the vaccine, don't look at miscarriage, just look at fertility rates around the world. Every westernized country has had a significant drop in fertility rates. Most of Western Europe is down somewhere between 6% and 9%. The United States is down somewhere around 7%. Certain places like Taiwan were down 26%. And interestingly, places that were not heavily vaccinated, like Sub-Saharan Africa, for example, has had no decrease or no change in their fertility rate at all since 2021.
1+1. Okay. From the beginning, we knew that the heart was targeted, the brain was targeted, the human reproductive activities in both males and females were obviously targeted. We didn't find out about males until later, but thanks to Dr. Arne Burkhardt, we did. This is a an absolute effort to eradicate the reproductive capability of this species. There's no doubt. I'm not saying 100% eradicate. Let's say 50%. You just heard Harry say it. 9 miscarriages in one work shift? Wow.
Yeah.
So somebody, again, I'm kind of like you, Harry, if you don't think it's the vaccines and you're welcome to your own opinion, great, but then you need to posit a theory. You know, we're scientists. That's what we do. We observe things. We look at patterns. We need to find an explanation for it. Here are the, if the outcome is decreased fertility rate or increase in sudden deaths, increase in spontaneous miscarriages, and you don't think it's the vaccine, then you are obligated, in my mind, to alternative theory. You know, what do you think is causing it? You know, maybe it's climate change. I don't know, but you'd better have, you know, some answer. Let's talk, you know, another thing that you've talked about and I wrote about in my chapter in Toxic Shot with regard to children is the association that I believe exists between these mRNA shots and psychiatric changes, psychiatric or mental health changes. You know, as anybody in healthcare hopefully knows, you know, the human brain is not fully developed until probably the mid-20s, possibly as late as 30 for males. You know, so the idea of, you know, children, I wrote the chapter on pediatrics, but, you know, the adult brain isn't fully formed, and even the skeletal system isn't fully completed in its formation of 18. We have seen significant mental and psychiatric issues that are acute in onset. Tell me about those things you've seen that may be related to the injections.
Well, it's there's been a lot of psychological illnesses, or psych patients, we call them in the field, you know, psych calls, since the rollout of the vaccine. It's difficult to attribute it to the vaccine, mm-hmm. or just the amount of abuse that we all receive from the lockdowns and the constant gaslighting and the demonization of everyone that's not completely towing the narrative. That being said, since the rollout of the shots, I've seen a lot, and some of them turn out to be brain tumors. I've run calls where a mom who's just been a perfect mother, no problems, no health history, vaccinated, and then ends up having just a complete snap. It ended up being a tumor, but just snap in personality, mm-hmm. and tried to kill their entire family with a knife. So, I mean, there's just, I've tried to tell people, between all of the just abuse and all of the bad that's coming through these shots, you really need to be prayed up. You need to be spiritually ready, because people that are close to you can change at the drop of a hat. I mean, between psychological breaks and tumors and things like that, or meningitis, if you've ever had a really bad meningitis patient, some of them will fight you. Some will be completely still. Some of them will try to fight you. In my opinion, it's going to get even worse, because you're going to have these issues like these cancers and these psychological problems that are going untreated. And it's going to just eventually hit a point where we're going to be just really, really busy. I would say keep track of how much Haldol we're using. I've used more Haldol since the shots rolled out than I've ever had to use in my entire career. Which Haldol, for those that are watching, Haldol is something we use whenever someone's having a psychotic episode and they're trying to beat us up. If you're trying to beat me up in the field and you're trying to bite me and kill me, inevitably I'm going to sedate you with something called Haldol if I can, so you'll stop beating on me and my partner. So if you eventually you might just be able to track it with how much of those types of medications we're using to try to not get, you know, killed in the field.
No, and again, you rightly point out, Harry, and I would as well, you know, that these are multifaceted. You can't say that every, you know, newly psychotic patient or mentally disturbed patient that's because they got an mRNA injection for COVID. You know, it may be, you know.
Well, I think it's, there's certainly a lot of interesting coincidental aspects to this topic. We didn't have these kinds of breaks with reality. Sudden personality changes, which are mostly hostile, aggressive. They're not happy personality changes. This wasn't life before 4 years ago.
Not on this scale, that's for sure.
No, and I don't know that she's underestimating it or underrating it, but all right, look, here's a couple more minutes.
Either they would ignore you or demonize you, or just tell you to shut up. Now no one tells me to shut up in real life. They don't argue with me anymore. I actually have people that you know have my back whenever I'm like I've had doctors walk up to me whenever I'm telling one of the nurses that's making fun of the other nurse for, you know, talking bad about the vaccines. I've had doctors come up and go, hey, these vaccines are actually causing stroke. So that climate's changed. Not that long ago, I was sitting in a room of doctors, nurses, and medics, all of us talking, and there wasn't one person in that big room. And this wasn't like a group of anti-vaxxers getting together. This was a group at work, and everyone in that room knows the shots are bad. So I would say everyone is starting to realize, or most everyone has realized at this point, it's just most don't want to talk about it. I mean, one of the doctors, after we had a big meeting that day, pulled me aside and we started talking, and I was like, why don't you speak out? I mean, you're a doc, speak out. We need more of y'all. And they were like, if I speak out, I'll probably lose my license, and I want to take care of my community. And my community, they said everyone in their community lived through COVID because they were willing to prescribe the ivermectins, and they were having to do it under like, to prescribe it for like scabies or something like that. They were having to be scared for their license to care for their community. And we both basically described it as living in a concentration camp. If you're scared to prescribe life-saving medications because the powers that be are demonizing you and telling you that they're not going to let you do it, that's no better than living in a concentration camp. You're literally having to lie and feed your people, you know, crumbs under the table so they don't starve to death. I mean, that's bad. I mean, I think once we catch up to how bad it's actually been, we're going to be faced with a what are we going to do about it scenario. And I wish that what are we going to do about it scenario would have happened a long time ago, because right now we're behind the eight ball. People are dying. This is happening, and it's going to get worse, especially with what y'all talked about with the bird flu and all the other crap they're going to try to push mRNA down our throats with. It's not going to get better from here on out unless we actually stand against this tyrannical system, my opinion.
No, I agree with
you. Okay, I'll stop it there. So that's paramedic Harry Fisher. There are probably many paramedics listening right now who are doing great jobs, heroic jobs, that understand fully what Harry's saying and more. And to all of you out there, I want to speak, I think, on behalf of most all of our audience worldwide. Thank you. Thank you very much for your sacrifice. Without you, I can't even imagine. And I'm afraid there's going to come a day when you call 9/11 and you'll get a recorded message. That's what you're going to get. You won't get Harry Fisher. You won't get any other heroic paramedics. So you people need to take care of yourselves. Know that your work is vital and you are appreciated. Never forget that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. You have a couple things to read, I think. And then we'll jump into our people file. What do you have? Something about... We're back to shedding again. And smells...
Well, yeah, that's ongoing.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Did you have something else set up? Or
I don't remember if I did or I didn't. I was just really listening to Harry and what he was saying. The whole idea with shedding and smells seems to be accelerating, especially the smell aspect of it. People do seem to report now that they're able to smell more things, maybe more intensely than before. I don't know, you know more about it than I do, but we can go with that if you want. Is there something else that I'm missing here that we should do?
I don't think so.
I think we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So we do like to cover the topic of shedding, which, you know, primarily is pertains to the unvaxxed, who have been adversely affected by the vax because of being exposed to whatever is being shed. And, of course, we think it's the spike protein, and we have good reason to think that because people who haven't been vaxxed can be tested for antibodies to the spike. And many times, if they are having symptoms, those spike antibodies will be very high, indicating they have been exposed to spike. And if the nucleocapsid, if they don't have antibodies to the nucleocapsid, which is part of the virus, then we can assume that the antibodies to the spike are from shedding. But that's not to say that people who don't generate antibodies to the spike and have been sickened from being around the vaxxed are not reacting to the spike. They may just not be generating antibodies to it. Their bodies may be reacting in a different way that indicates they've been poisoned. And there may be other things that are contributing to this shedding illness or the constellation of symptoms. We think that there are aldehydes being released from the deranged metabolism. When you have oxidized fats in the body, lipids, aldehydes are a byproduct of that, and they are toxic. And many times they have a smell to them, and they can be pleasant or foul-smelling. There's also noxious gases that may be released from just livers that are not functioning well. What else? And we don't know to what extent the bacterial flora on these people has been mutated or changed to the point where the bacteria are producing some sort of toxin.
That's right. You're going to hear some things that are very interesting in a minute about this idea. In other words, think in your head, okay, someone's been injected. They're touching something. Maybe they're stocking food in a store, whatever. They're in a gymnasium, and they touch something. And you feel, without any question, you can smell that person where they touched something. They've left something behind, so to speak. And yet, what do we have? Do we have the idea, then, to consider that you're smelling an actual protein, which is nano size? Or is there some corollary, a bacterial corollary that's involved, that's tracking along with the discharge and the actual spreading of the spike that's making the odors? I don't know. It's kind of a tricky situation. But something is out there, and people are certainly smelling it.
Well, you know, when you have that degree of sensitivity, and I would call it a hypersensitivity, you know, the body is going to react with, you know, through association in some cases.
Right.
So if there's a smell associated with the toxin, it may be the smell that triggers the reaction, and less so than the toxin itself. You know, we don't know, but I think it would be interesting. I would say we do have the ability to do an environmental swab sampling of let's just say something that's been touched by a vax person and is affecting another person, and have that analyzed. You know, what's in it, and then, you know, work from there. Is it just aldehyde residues? Is it bacterial, or can we isolate a protein from that?
That's a very interesting thing. I don't know that you can smell a protein. And if that's the case, and let's say I'm one of those people whose people can smell me for whatever reason, I've had shots, whatever, and I pick up something, how many proteins am I going to leave behind on that surface to be smelled? 10, 20, 1,000? How many would it take to actually incite somebody's olfactory system to notice? That's a protein. Now, if there's a bacterial component, that would be something else entirely. I don't know.
Well, we now know, and this is only a recent discovery, that the smell of mold is not the mold. It's the bacteria that travels with the mold. And that's a fairly recent discovery.
Got it.
And so this may be similar. There may be a bacterial component to this that is what's being smelled rather than the protein itself.
That's why I was asking the question. I don't know. All right. If you have something you want to introduce here, read it. Go ahead.
Let's see. Well, you pick.
No, I don't have what you have.
Well, I have tonight's readers.
Okay.
July 26.
I have all those. I thought there was something else that you had. All right.
No.
No problem here. Let me pull this back up again. Come on. We have about 7 shedding stories. We've got MCS, long COVID recovery, new smells. We take
well, since
new
we're on
smells,
the topic of smells or shedding,
let's
yeah,
go
pick
ahead.
One of those.
All right. How about new smells?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. There is a nasty smell coming out from the drains lately, a dull, like, rotten egg smell. First of all, we only noticed it at certain points in our local towns, but last night it was very strong, in the air, everywhere. The first time I smelled it, I thought, dead bodies. I have no idea why, and have never smelled a dead body as far as I know, but I thought this particular thing immediately, for some reason, and started around 2020, 2021, but only now and then. But now it is almost everywhere we go, and it is constant. I have looked into this, and it could be hydrogen sulfide or sewer gas, so-called, and it is extremely toxic to humans. So my question is, why are we smelling it everywhere now? It seems to be in the air, literally. Go ahead.
Are they spraying us with this literal shit? This leads me on to... There could be rotting flesh in the chemtrails, infected rotten flesh or something similar. I mean, what would they do? What would do this? What would this do to a living body when breathed in? What are they doing with all the bodies? There are excess deaths happening, mostly the elderly and over 50s. I hear of at least 4 to 5 people dying a week in my area. I also heard that they were liquefying dead bodies and putting them down the drainage system into the sewers.
This is true. That is a true statement. They are doing that.
Mm. Are they using hydrofluoric acid to do this? Is this why they changed all our pipes to PET, as this is the only container material that will not dissolve when transporting or holding it? Why are all our bottles of water now all PET? There was a big thing about how toxic certain plastics were for transporting your water, so they changed to PET, but PET is not corrosive to hydrofluoric acid. Something nasty is going on, and I cannot quite put my finger on it. Well, hydrogen sulfide, the body does produce hydrogen sulfide through its own metabolism. And yes, in high amounts it is toxic, but in low amounts it's a signaling molecule in the body. And the certain bacteria in the gut will also produce hydrogen sulfide, and you will smell that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this person has become sensitized to this particular type of smell, which is known to be associated with COVID and presumably spike poisoning because of the changes that happen with the sulfation pathway in the body. The sulfation pathway is dysregulated, so a lot of times you'll have an overgrowth of sulfate-reducing bacteria that compensate for the lack of sulfate in the body. And it smells. It does smell like sewer gas.
Okay. Here's another one. MCS, long COVID recovery. See that one?
Well, why don't we stay on shedding? For now?
Yeah, we can do that. Go from smells up to shedding number one.
Okay.
We've got 3 shedding and then shedding denier,
yep.
3 of those. So shedding number one, go ahead.
Well, last week I was in the home of one of my friends. He's 28 years old and only took one dose, and so far I haven't felt any shedding from him. His mom, on the other hand, took two doses of Pfizer. She's a very cordial and beautiful Latina, looking very young for her age. If you saw her and my friend together, you would think they were siblings. Anyway, his mom insisted on shaking my hand and doing high five and fist bumps. I couldn't resist, not just because of social pressure, because I'm a guy, and what guy wouldn't want to shake the hand of a beautiful Latina? Well, I paid the price for it. 2 days afterwards, I got a fever and an extremely painful throat, viral tonsillitis, and the only thing I can do is to wait this thing out.
Viral tonsillitis, diagnosed, I assume. Not a normal thing to hear about with shedding accounts.
Sore throat is a big one.
But viral, 2 days? Interesting. But that is interesting. High fives,
all right.
That's all I can take. All right, next one. Well, this is continuing on with,
yeah,
I paid a price,
yeah,
for it 2 days afterwards. Go ahead, finish that up.
That's how I ended up in the ICU, high-fiving a friend during a football game, and she had gotten the first booster jab 5 days prior. Never again do I shake hands or high-five. I will do a fist bump, as that has not made me sick.
Is that safe, too? I don't know.
First one says, whoa, did it get that bad? And he answers, yes, 27 days in hospital and 30 at home with oxygen.
Unreal.
I guess it didn't help that I was in her house, which now I know had all her shedding, as she had got the two Pfizer jabs, her first two Pfizer jabs. I started to get sick that same night that I was at her house for the game. Within a week, I was in the ICU. The jabs are definitely a bioweapon. I was and had been perfectly healthy before seeing her.
This is not good, not good at all. But you won't hear this kind of information anywhere else. All right, here's shedding. These are shedding deniers. This will be fun. Can anyone explain the mechanism by which shedding causes insomnia? And the response is, shedding is a fear propaganda. Nobody has shown any real evidence of this chemical 5G is why people feel sick. All right, this is very poorly written. Let me just read it again to try and make more sense of it. Shedding is fear propaganda. Nobody has shown any real evidence of it. It's chemtrails and 5G. That's why people feel sick. And the next
obvious
person
troll.
Says, obvious. And believe us, there are lots of trolls being paid to work these social,
yes,
media groups.
Absolutely.
That are relied upon by so many people for essential health, welfare information, support, kindness. And now we have trolls and idiots, and soon it'll be AI doing it if it isn't already.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I only feel sick after I treat my acupuncture patients. I also know a naturopathic doctor who got the vials, the shots, and has discovered weaponized pathogens and nanotech. And they do spread from person to person. I was fine all of 2020 and beginning of 2021 when 5G and spraying was happening. I didn't start having issues until being around the vaxxed. And someone, he adds to that, also, you, the shill, are in the wrong group.
Got that right.
Got that right. I said that, didn't I? Yes. All right, go ahead. There's two more.
Next person says, I have had blood tests and then quarantine and then go out and test again and repeated this cycle several times. What happens to me is I get elevated cytokines. I read a research article that said the cytokine storm killed people with COVID. In that article, it said that if one of the cytokines goes to 20, people were dying. I had cytokines go to 30. Now, cytokines are a response of the immune system. She continues, I think the spike protein is a very toxic thing. It is also a prion protein. It can cause blood clots, sterilization, amyloid clots, and more. I don't know why some react to it so much more than others. It's kind of like an allergy, only I think it involves a different part of the immune system. There are some people that are highly allergic to shrimp and can have severe reactions if there's even a little in a baked good. Next person, once you experience it, you will never say that. I don't have to wait for scientists to tell me shedding is real. Besides, Pfizer told us that in their own documents, so there really is no debate.
There's none. Don't forget it. They did. It's right in the documents.
And another one adds to shedding is fear propaganda. No, it is not. I felt these problems alone in 2021. No one talked about shedding at all. After I discovered this group and others, I saw that my experience was exactly the same as many others. I never, ever in my life smelled anything like this, and it makes me sick, sadly. You clearly don't know anything.
All right. So, next one. Shedding getting worse. Okay. Lots of shedding still out there. Three different people got near me at the gym, and I started with the dry coughing, gagging, and runny nose. Then I smelled at least five jabbed, very strong smell, as they walked by me in Costco and Walmart. I held my breath until I got further away from them. And someone adds to that, I would say that, in my opinion, shedding is as bad as it has ever been. It just keeps incrementally getting worse and worse. I encounter more people than ever with the smell, even outdoors. I had once thought that we would get a break over the summer, but that's not happening. If anything, the heat and sweating make it all come out even more. All indicators point to a steady increase in people getting sick over the summer, and wastewater trackers are going up. So I think it's them, not me, who is getting worse. P.S. A public gym is basically the last place on earth I would want to go. A tiny room full of sweating, shedding, jabbers? You will not find any health in there. Amen to that. Look, things are not what they used to be, dear friends. Things have changed irrevocably, permanently, and we think that shedding is, in all likelihood, intensifying and getting worse, if not more common. But the intensification of it is something we can't really measure, so that's a guess, of course. But this is not a good situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, people keep asking, you know, it's been a couple years. You know, do people stop shedding? Well, if you know anybody who has this sensitivity, ask them, and they'll tell you, no, it is absolutely still going on. They can tell you who has been jabbed, and there are varying degrees of intensity in terms of what they're shedding. So it hasn't gone away, and, no. Well, let's read this next thing. What is being shed?
I think it's worse. I think that spike proteins are shedding from these people. These proteins are deadly bioweapons. I also think SARS-CoV-2 virus is likely being carried and shed off most of them also. The virus also contains the deadly spike proteins, so it's the same toxin, really. Important to note that whatever they shed is persistent in the environment and on surfaces long after the shedders leave. This is expected with proteins. They are very resilient. But I'm always open-minded that there could be something else being shed, too. They never have and never will release the full, unredacted ingredients list on the vaccines. So we will never know fully what was injected into people. Here's something fun. I can tell what objects have been shed upon heavily just by smelling them. It's a problem with groceries, because if I let the wrong thing into the fridge will stink with the smell, and it drives me crazy. So I have to sniff things. He actually has to smell them before I bring them into the house or put them in the refrigerator. In general, the longer the time the item has been around in the store, the more exposed to people, the more the odds of it smelling badly are. Example, I grabbed two boxes of something or another, one from the front, one from behind it. The front one stunk, but not the back one. But the main takeaway is that our entire world is contaminated with this stuff now, and unless you live in the woods and hunt your own food, you are getting it to some extent. And that's true.
Yes, yes. And this is not an isolated incident. There are many people like this now that have this degree of sensitivity. And I think, you know, we're all at risk of that. It's just, you know, what's your threshold?
I've smelled it two or three times. I don't hang around people at all. I'm a recluse. But I guess if I did, I probably would come across it more often. How many times have you whiffed it?
It's hard to say. I do notice that the laundry fabric softener smell just seems pervasive nowadays. Now, is that them, or are they just, I don't know. I just think the laundry detergents in general, they're using more fragrances.
That's for sure.
But I have smelled the foul-smelling smell occasionally, not very often. But then, you know, I make a point not to... Mm-hmm. Not to be around these people.
I can tell you the smells I smelled. I want nothing to do with that again. That was
no.
It was not
just avoid these no. crowded places if you can, to the degree that you can. Yeah, that's your best bet, because once you cross that threshold and you don't know when it's going to be.
You don't back away from it. No.
There's no turning it back. I mean, essentially. You know, your immune system has been damaged, and this is what we call toxin-induced loss of tolerance, or environmental illness, or multiple chemical sensitivity. You know, it's the trigger. It's only the trigger that differs, but you know, once you cross that line, and the immune system is overreacting to something, it's very, very hard, if not impossible, to reverse that. I could recommend a really good book. This was written by Glenna Chance, and she was actually interviewed on Children's Health Defense in the People's Bus Tour there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a book called What Poison Will Change Your Life. And now she herself was poisoned by a pesticide application nearly 2000, or maybe, I don't know, late 2000s. And she wrote a book about her saga and what life is like now, because her you know, her immune system is completely dysregulated because of this now, and it's a handicap. It's a recognized handicap, and I think we're going in that direction with this poison. I mean, there are people that are sufficiently debilitated that they can't participate normally now in society because of this.
Seriously. Let me rewind the whole program and just mention again, one Allicin C capsule a day, six or seven bio superfood capsules a day. Try it for a month. Let us know your results. I'd like to know. I've heard nothing but wonderful things. And these are from people vaxxed and unvaxxed. Doesn't matter. It helps to a degree in every case. It's things you just don't have access to in your diet. Right there.
Yeah, help yourself whatever way you can. I mean, the minerals are just—they're not—they're not in the diet. They're just not there. And I don't know how you're going to defend your health without supplementation.
I agree.
I really don't.
Okay, we got to run. We're way late. Thank you. Great job, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Good night, everyone.
We'll pause on that note and come right back Going to Las Vegas next hour with Johnny Barber.